Avengers Spotlight.
Everybody, and welcome to Back to the Bins Avengers Spotlight. I'm Paul Spataro, and I am here with the good doctor, Dr. Bill Robinson.
Well, good is a subjective word, is it not?
It is. And I will leave it at that. How you doing, Doc?
Pretty good. I'm hoping I don't disappear in a puff of temporal anomalies or somebody rewriting my story somewhere.
Really, I don't remember the last time that you and I just recorded together with nobody else in the room. It's been a long time.
But Paul,
yes,
there's always somebody else in the room. We just can't see them.
Ooh, that's scary.
The audience. People,
look deep. So we are, I guess we're going to start off by talking about, we have sung the praises of the CLZ app, which we have. And if I recall, and I think you have the same situation, when I signed up for it, which was probably about 4 years ago, there was a one-time fee. I think it was like $15,
$15.99 or $14.99, and I was like,
we've been using it ever since.
I got mixed feelings about what we're getting ready to discuss.
I do as well, and I'm going to try and be fair about my discussion of it. But last summer when I was in, and we got together, my buddy Ken, who was with us, was looking for something to organize his books. Mm-hmm. And his collection is far smaller than what we've talked about, but he's still looking for something. So I recommended it because it's been great. And when he went to do it, I saw, now there's a monthly fee on it. And I think it's $3.99 or something like that. I don't even know.
$3.99? Wow.
I'm not even sure. I'm, you know what? Don't take that as gospel, 'cause I may be totally wrong. But anyway, I think he declined to do it because of that.
I would too.
So nothing came up since then. It might have been $1.99. I don't even know what it was. But there was a monthly fee attached to it, or an annual fee attached to it. And this week we both got messages from CLZ, and that's what we're talking about, because the message basically said, because you ordered the app and paid for the app before there was a monthly fee, you're grandfathered in and you still have the services that you have, and that's not going to change. Mm-hmm. But please consider giving me money. and it was sent in a different way. It wasn't even like, could you make a donation to keep us up and running, because we've done so well for you. Because I think I might be inclined to try and do something like that. But what they said was, sign up for the monthly fee. Just, out of the goodness of your heart. No, they did not do that. But,
come on, sign up for the fee.
Sign up for the monthly fee out of the goodness of your heart and pay the monthly fee. And there was something on there, too, saying, you can cancel the monthly fee at any time and then you're still grandfathered in. You don't lose what you signed up for initially.
Why would I get the monthly fee? This is where I'm torn. Okay, so when I first got this, man, I've had this for years now, and when I finally got everything in, now that I got everything in, it's like I've been wondering, because just over the past year or 6 months, it seems like I get a a email like every week sometimes, like, oh, this is the stuff for this week. And there's like, it seems like they've become way more engaged than they used to with all these updates and all these features. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. But one, I now that I have 99.5% of my collection entered into CLZ, I'm not actively collecting anything new or even really collecting anything old. I'm kind of like back in limbo again. So it's like, maybe if I was still actively getting new books or you know, like there's things I still don't even, I think you know how to do certain things in there. Like, don't you know how to pull out a spreadsheet in it or something?
I might be able to. I'm not sure. Scott is actually better at that than me.
Oh.
I know he had a spreadsheet with his want list and stuff.
You know, I go in there and look. So God help me if they ever cut me off and say, you know what, you grandfather guys, you're done. You know, because then I won't be able to. I've been thinking of going in and just writing everything down by hand.
if I have to pay a monthly fee, I think that's what I'm going to end up doing.
That's why I used to do it. But what was really great, you know, and people are going to say, oh, you ungrateful bastards, you know. Pay the money. But
I paid the money. I paid what was asked of me when I signed up.
But I understand that they've become more engaged and they have bills to pay. But, you know, when I first heard about the app, I thought, I'm like, $15? Wow, that's a lot to pay for an app. Oh, well, yeah, but it was like, you know, but then once I started doing it, because you know what? The comic book industry is the one that effed everything up with so many.
Same building again.
What? Dave just chimed in.
That was actually, I've been listening to the audiobook of Henry Winkler's autobiography.
Oh, Dave.
And that's what that was.
Oh, okay. So, but. Henry Winkler / Dave is throwing my train of thought, but
I apologize. My fault.
No. Oh, it doesn't take much. It's because I have a one track mind. Aha! But yeah, yes. Comic books. Because the hardest thing that what made me get it is because I was buying duplicates of my effing Avengers books, because New Avengers and then that relaunched and Secret Avengers and that relaunched and Avengers is relaunch and da da da, and then I couldn't keep track of anything. I was going online and I was finding, because I needed something that would give me the pictures of the covers, and then so I was doing this on my own on my phone. I was creating folders with the issues I needed with a picture of the cover. And I would say, New Avengers volume this, or Avengers volume this. And I would have the cover, and I would have to physically go through my collection and go, just like that. Yeah. Like one of the guys from Minecraft. So you know what? It was great when I got it. I loved it. You know, I was able to sort it, and Scott came over. He was here like a whole weekend, and we did almost all my comics and got everything. You know, I figured out what I had and what I didn't have, and it was awesome, and I was happy to pay that $15. And that's when I told you, dude, you got to get this, organize your shit. And I told Scott that too, you know, you got to get this, and we all did. And now I'm getting the emails and I'm like, well, I'm like, I'm not using it as much anymore. So I mean, thank you. You know,
I use it plenty, but I feel like that's what I paid for. And yeah, you know, I hate to be so cheap about it, because it has been a good app, and it has been
too, but, and I could see, I don't know, maybe they will, you know, I bet they thought, yeah, we're going to charge 50. Maybe we should look at it this way. Yeah, we're going to charge these guys $15 for this. You know, a good portion of them probably won't even use it. We'll be just raking in the money. And then, like, so many people started actually using it, and then they're like, oh, man, you know, we're doing all these updates. You know, we're losing our ass, and we're not getting as many new people because there ain't that many comic book collectors.
But so, the thing is, the updates, I don't even end up installing the updates. I think that's what they're looking for money for.
Yeah, huh? I don't think I've ever updated it. I just figured it would automatically update.
No, I think you have to actually install the updates.
Yeah, but what do they give? I mean, I don't need anything. I mean, you still get if there's new books, right? Like if new books, I'm not doing any new books. See, there's like a weekly one that says new this week, and it has like.
Oh yeah, I've never opened that up new this week, and I'm sure there's the rare new books that I buy, very rare, and I'm sure when I go to put them on the app has somehow been up. I don't think the app has been updated, but I think the cloud, you know, that contains the information has been updated to include those new books. So yeah, I guess that is something.
Well, the only way that I would have needed is if I actually start. I mean, I stopped collecting all the Avengers stuff because I don't know. I didn't really care for the art anymore. I didn't really care for the stories anymore. I mean, it feels like I'm such a loser because I got everything up to like every Avengers book ever put out, except for a couple miniseries. I mean, I've got all the series up to what, like about 2 years ago when I kind of just Now when I come across it, I pick it up.
I don't know why you feel like a loser because, you know, I've said so many times where I picked arbitrary points to stop my collections on certain series, on, you know, virtually every series because I don't buy anything new anymore. And it's like, yeah, I'm good with that. That's fine.
But it burns my soul because as a collector and having... They're never going to – well, I mean, they might stop, you know. That's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for them to just finally stop. And then I'm like, now I'm going to go back and get them all. It's like Pokemon. Got to get them all.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
I'm so close.
But
the price is still crazy. I know. Hey, you old guys, the price. You don't like the art. It's not like it used to be. Just die already, you old –
Now, you know, I had a conversation. I don't know where this is going to air in relation to that, but I had a whole conversation this week with Bob Breitel, who is in the Guinness Book of World Records as having the largest comic collection in the world. And we were talking about old books versus new books at one point in the conversation. And he was talking about that, you know, there is good new stuff that comes out. But I found, first of all, my focus has always been the big two, Marvel and DC. And even he was saying that he's not really all that thrilled with what's been coming out from them. And he was pointing mostly to indie series. And I just don't have the time, the inclination, or the dedication to start going through every indie series to find which ones I may or may not like. So what I do, and I think you do the same thing, is I rely on when somebody comes along who I respect and says, oh, I just read this series and it's really good. And then we give it a shot. Or somebody sends us an email saying, hey, are you interested in this series? Which is how we found Fearscape, which we enjoyed.
Oh, yeah,
But that's few and far between, very few and far between. So that's going to be the extent of my new comic collecting. When Bob and I were talking about, you know, him coming on and we were talking about doing maybe an old classic storyline together on an episode, and then we were talking about maybe doing something relatively new, and I think what we landed on for the new one, so just kind of giving people an advance word on this, is maybe doing the first arc on the series Saga, which is highly thought of from everything I've heard. I never had a chance to read it, but even that's probably, you know, 6 years old. It's not like it just came out.
Yeah,
you know. So it's just, it's too hard to sift through all the new stuff that's coming out for me. I don't have the time. I don't have the inclination. I love my old books. So that's what I'm sticking with. Which brings us back to CLZ. I don't really need all the updates of the new books.
Yeah.
You know, the other new series that I'm doing is, you know, J.C. Vaughn, who I'm friends with, is doing that Al Capone Vampire Hunter. So yeah. Al Capone Vampire, not Vampire Hunter, and I've read the first two issues, and I ordered the third issue, which I've received, but I haven't sat down and read it yet. But I'm looking forward to that. I've enjoyed what I've read of that so far. Ron Randall, who I'm also friends with, does the series Trekker, which he's been on the show and talked about that. He just did a new Kickstarter, so I ordered that. So I'm not totally opposed to new things, but I very, very carefully pick and choose what I do.
Yeah.
Or what I go for. So I guess, it would be nice. It would be the generous and, thing to do is to say, hey, this app has been really useful for me. I've really enjoyed using it. Let me throw them a couple of more dollars.
Well,
because it's giving me that value.
But
I feel like I found a bargain. I want to keep my bargain.
Yeah. maybe just because you blah, blah, blah. You go on Wikipedia, and what are they doing?
They're begging for money.
It's nice to have some money. Like, yeah. Well, maybe if your information was always right, I'd give a shit. So
it's another useful
if it wasn't able to be edited by every Tom, Dick, and Harry on the internet, don't use Wikipedia as a source for like a term paper, but
you use Wikipedia to get general information, and yes. Then if you were and we use it all the time, I'll gotta be fair,
but if
you were absolutely relying on it, anything you find on there, you need to follow up and make sure that it's accurate.
But see, this is a growing trend. So you got CLZ, you got in at least in our corner of the world, you got CLZ, you got Wikipedia. I mean, you've got some of the other thing I'm finding is I go on a website that's a news website, and I can see here's a list of articles, and I open it up, it's like, oh, would you like to? Now, they're not even asking for money. They just want me to sign up. But they're like, oh, you could read this article for free. If I can read it for free, let me read it. Don't make me give you my email, because now I'm going to go on a list and you're going to be getting my information and my cookies my own.
Stay out of my cookies, man.
Yeah. So it's like, everybody wants something from me. It's like the death of a thousand cuts, or as I like to say, my version of that is being pecked to death by a duck.
it's an amusing image. So that's our rant on CLZ's request for cash. Here's how I'm going to try and pay CLZ back a little bit. It is a useful app. It is a very useful app. And if you're an active collector and you're listening to this show and you're looking for a way to organize your collection, we're giving them free advertising right now by saying you should sign up and
get
it's
in.
It's worth the monthly fee.
Get your stuff done, get yourself a spreadsheet, and get out. Would be the way I would recommend it now.
But I think it's a worthwhile app, and if I were actively buying new stuff and I didn't have it, I would be willing to pay the monthly fee on it. But I already have it. I got my bargain. I'm not actively collecting new stuff, and I don't feel like I should have to pay it. So, yes, I'm being cheap, and yes, I'm saying, but you should. I'm being very, very generous with other people's money. But I'm going to say I would recommend it to somebody who's looking for that. And that's how I'm giving them that free advertising. That's my contribution to them. So that said, moving on to news.
This just in, Kang has disappeared.
Yeah, what are they going to do in Marvel now that they've fired Jonathan Majors?
Why don't they just recast him?
Yeah, I heard something about them recasting.
I think he didn't pop like they thought he was going to pop regardless. And now they're like, I don't think they know what they're doing anymore at Marvel in the books or in the movies. It's like they're lost. I know you guys say the same things all the time. They hit Endgame and they didn't know what to do after that.
I agree. I think they wanted to go for a different type of threat. I think that was all they knew. You know, we want to go for a new universal threat, and it can't be the same as Thanos. So, Kang is a big deal. But Kang doesn't, I don't know, you know, I'm familiar, we're going to do a Kang story in a couple of minutes. And I'm mostly familiar with early Kang. I know Kang from when he was introduced, and I know him through, you know, the whole Celestial Madonna thing and all of that. And after that, I start becoming a little vague on what his history is. So there may be a lot more to the character than what I know. But I'm having a tough time seeing exactly where they're going to go with it. And,
you know, maybe once we finish this up, maybe I'll pick a later, like there was a,
I know there was a good one when they had the run with George Perez after yes. they rebooted the series. Yeah. And I think we should probably do that after this. In fact, we're doing issue 24, and we think at some point we've already done issue 25.
Yes, so
I
think
It might be a good time to jump onto that later series. And then we could always come back, you know, to this in the future. So I think that's where we're going to go. But just back to the MCU point, you know, I think they've handled the character poorly as far as making him a big threat, because they first introduced him in Loki and he was a giggling, stupid fool. And then you bring him back in Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania and you have Ant-Man kick his ass. It's hard to see him as a universe threat.
And he's always a chump when he first started.
Yeah, but that's not the way to build up excitement in the movies. You want to make him seem, you know, you don't want to start him off as a chump and then build him up. You want to start him off as this, you know, mysterious power that you can. I mean, that's the way they did it with Thanos, and it worked beautifully. And then we're not talking about the same type of power, and we're not talking about the same type of villain, but you could still do it that way, where it's, you know, there's, you know, more mysterious and more, you know, built up to it, and have his minions or whatever, and, you know, in fact, have the minions from the movie Minions. But I think it's been poorly handled, frankly, because it doesn't make me excited for what the next thing is going to be. With Thanos, I was, you know, oh my God, what are they going to do next? And this, you know, it's like, yeah, all right, whatever. And what's funny is the book we're about to cover reminded me in many ways of the Infinity War movie, the way that kind of worked out. Mm. There were aspects of that definitely seemed to correspond. But just not the same. Sorry. And I'm going to stick with it. I'll keep watching the stuff when it becomes available to me for free, or for what I've already paid, at least. But I'm not necessarily going to the theater to see everything unless it's something that catches my attention, which,
well, you know, I don't
really,
think
really other, hasn't happened yet.
I don't think many other people are going to theater to watch really a lot of comic book movies.
I've considered either. At some point, you know, there's the theater where they have like the monthly fee. It's like $30 for the month and you go to unlimited movies. Mm. And I've considered doing that at some point. And if I do that, then I would go see everything because it's all free. You know, it's all already paid for and I get to see it on the big screen. But
so I saw a thing on Facebook before I forget. And it was a picture. It was Robert Downey Jr.'s character from Tropic Thunder.
Mm-hmm. Oh, as
I'm the dude. I'm the dude. Played a dude. Yeah, and they had him as Kang.
That's
good. And I was just like, oh my God.
The two things I've heard rumors about, and I think they are only rumors. I don't think there's any. I don't think Marvel has given any indication that they're interested in doing this. But the first one I had heard, and I mentioned this before, was the guy who played the High Evolutionary in the Guardians movie, having him just be a Kang variant and bringing that actor back to play the part, which works for me. And he was a more threatening seeming guy than Jonathan Majors anyway. And the other one I heard is the fans have been rallying that they want John Boyega to play him.
Huh. Okay.
As far as Jonathan Majors goes.
He could have played young Kang, like in the Young Avengers, although he's getting kind of old, but, you know.
Yeah, I assume at this point, you know, he's old enough that I assume he's as old as Jonathan Majors is.
Yeah.
Jonathan Majors was born in 1989. So he's only 34 years old.
Oh, but John Boyega's, I'm sure he's younger than that.
John Boyega is, can I get a drum roll, please? 31.
Look at that. Yay.
So he is younger, but he's not that much younger. Only a couple of years.
Well, so, here's who I say should play Kang. You ready for this? Drum roll, please.
I don't do drum rolls.
Oh. Yeah. Carl Weathers. 75 years old.
There you go.
He can play old Kang. He can play the Scarlet Centurion, who's like, oh no, he can play Immortus.
Or Ramatut.
No, because Ramatut was like one of his first incarnations.
He was both. They had Ramatut as a young man and Ramatut as an old man.
Oh, yeah.
In the Celestial Madonna saga, he was an old man.
Yeah, let's push it, man. Let's get Carl Weathers as Kang.
All right, that's the official back to the bins position is Carl Weathers should take over the role.
Or Juan Carlo Esposito.
But you know, the real thing isn't the issue isn't who's playing him. The issue is make him seem like a threat. And so far, you know, they've done a poor job of it.
Well, did you watch Loki season 2?
No, I have not. I started it and then I got involved in Star Trek Strange New Worlds, which I have now finished that. So now the plan is to get back to Loki, but I have not yet.
Well, what'd you think of that season 2?
I really enjoyed it. I heard the mixed reviews over it, but I even got a big kick out of the singing episode.
Yeah, that was some weird shit.
I could easily see them doing that on Broadway.
Yeah.
So it was kind of fun to watch. But back to what we're here for.
Yes. Enough side tangent. Well, there was a lot of things happened. A lot of things just naturally happened in our own emails that was like, hey, did you get this email? What did you think of that? What the? And we're like, wait, save this for the show.
So let's get on to our book. Do you have the synopsis handy?
Oh, crap.
Kang. If you don't, I will open it up now.
Yeah, I did not have it handy.
Let's see if there it is.
I didn't go to bed until 3 o'clock. Got up at 7.
Dr. Bill.
And I was listening.
I got you covered, my friend.
I was listening to podcasts with our good friend Andy Leyland and his son Michael. So I woke up in the middle of the night, you know. Hello, Governor. No,
that is what Andy always says to me. Every time I talk to him, he calls me Governor. Not Governor.
Once it cleaned my chimneys, I'm like, dude, I'm in Florida. Why have a chimney? Which cleaned my dryer vent. Silence.
For some reason my pictures,
my computer's the only thing.
My Avengers recap is okay. There we go. I think it opened up again. Here we go. Now we got the synopsis going. So this episode had a release date of November 11th, 1965. Cover date of January of 1966. It is written by Stan Lee, penciled by Don Heck, inked by Dick Ayers, colored by Stan Goldberg, lettered by Audie Simic, and edited by Stan Lee. The cover by Jack Kirby, inked by Dick Ayers, shows the Cap and his three underlings standing back to back to back to back with the minions of Kang surrounding them and coming in on them. It's typical Kirby, but my first thought on it was it would be much more dynamic if you were a little bit closer to the heroes and just saw the minions on the real fringe of the cover. I think it would make it look more dynamic, but it's still well done for what it is. And the synopsis is as follows. Kang makes his escape as his troops advance on the city. Although all seems hopeless, the Avengers decide to pick up a fight against the never-ending army arrayed against them. Quicksilver is put out of action by a stray blast while trying to help a mother and child. The rest of the Avengers battle on, but are eventually overwhelmed and captured. Although Kang's law states that conquered monarchs are to be executed, Kang wants to marry Ravenna. Meanwhile, Quicksilver is nursed back to health by the mother he saved. The rest of the generals, led by second-in-command Baltag, rebel against Kang and try to assassinate him. Kang is therefore forced to team up with Captain America, Hawkeye, and the Scarlet Witch to save Ravenna and liberate her civilization. Baltag's forces are routed, thanks in part to a recovered Quicksilver who rejoins the fray. Kang sends the Avengers back to their time, just as Baltag leaps out and fires a shot at Kang. Captain America tries to warn him, but Ravenna leaps in the way and is shot herself. Kang's guards kill Baltag, and the Avengers are transported away, leaving Ravenna dying in Kang's arms, unsure whether she will survive or die. Die! Die!
The end. He was never seen again. Or was he?
He was seen again. So was she, wasn't she? She was revived.
Oh yeah, I was kidding. What do you mean Kang was never seen again?
I'm talking about Ravenna though. She's next seen in Avengers 69, where it will be revealed that Kang saved her by keeping her frozen in time, suspended at the very moment before her death. In that story, Kang is offered cure to her suspended state by the Grandmaster if he wins the Grandmaster's proposed contest. And that is the one that introduces us to the Squadron Supreme.
Yeah.
Or were they the Squadron Sinister at that time?
There was Squadron Sinister.
Supreme was later.
Yeah. But, because I remember watching Batman, the animated series. Now, because I hadn't read as many Batman comics when the whole thing with Victor Freeze's wife was frozen, I was like, oh, this is just like Ravenna. Ravonna. My Ravonna. Sorry. But she, if I remember, there's a miniseries that was in the late 80s, early 90s, the Terminatrix Objective or something. And she actually takes over and, like, she's controlling Kang's time city thing stuff. So she's, like, the villainess. She takes an active role later on. Yeah, she's back.
She's back. She comes better than ever. Yep. Well, you know, I mean, you got to keep in mind that when this book came out, Stan had taken the comics from, you know, stuff for very young kids and made it a little bit more mature. But it's still, you know, presenting characters not totally three-dimensionally. So, you know, you have a story like this, you know, there's Kang, he's in love with her, he's the villain, she's virtuous, and they fall in love so easily. And then, you know, by the time she's revived, you know, the storytelling has changed a lot, and they're making the characters much more three-dimensional and giving them a little bit more gray instead of total black and white. Because in this, they're black and white. He's the villain, she's the hero, or heroine. And then they show other aspects of it. And some of that I like, and some of it I don't. Like, I honestly, you know, it's wandering off this series, but, like, I'm thinking of Professor X. Now, Professor X was always shown as kind of pompous and you know, a little bit too quick to take his own way of doing things and, you know, erasing people's memories and doing shit that
falling
he shouldn't do.
Falling in love with his students.
But he was always, his motives were always, you know, pure, despite the fact that he may not always take the right road to them. And then when they started trying to make him more complex, they also made him into like a total dick. And I just, you know, like, I don't like that. You know, if he's going to be my hero, let him at least have heroic qualities. Don't you know, don't turn him into a total ass. So, you know, that's one of the things that I don't care for when they do is when they overdo it. You know, yeah. it's like the Henry Pym, you know, okay, now he's a wife beater, you know, that we've talked about so many times. It's you know, let's keep it a little bit more low key instead of turning it into a, you know, totally mm-hmm. on its ear. You know, and I've seen a lot of people who in you know, when they are arguing about that, there was some scene, and I don't remember where it was, where Peter Parker smacked Mary Jane or something.
Oh.
And they're like, well, what about this?
Oh, yeah. I think I remember we had that discussion many, many moons ago.
But back to this story. You know, the Don Heck ink, the Don Heck penciling is exactly what I expect from Don Heck, to be honest. It's it's good, but it's not great.
Great. Yeah.
And Dick Ayers' inking is nothing special, to be honest. A lot of Heck's faces leave something to be desired as far as I'm concerned. I think his panel choices are pretty good, like as far as the angles he's showing things at, and you know, zooming in and zooming out. I think there's a lot of decent work done there. But his faces are very interchangeable as far as features go. Like, you know, it's like everybody's eyes look similar. In fact, most people's eyes look very almond-like in his way of drawing them.
Well, who was doing the coloring in this? Because something, man.
The coloring,
it doesn't really say in the book itself.
What did it say in the synopsis?
I don't know.
Let me see. Stan Goldberg.
Oh.
I've heard that name before, but I really don't know too much about it.
Because, like, some of the people, like at some point, Cap doesn't have any whites in his eyes. It's just all flesh tone.
Yeah, that's sloppy. You know, there was the one scene, there's one shot, and it's on page... Where is it? Page... I don't even know. Oh, page 13, and in the middle, it's got like a close-up of a very close-up of Kang's eye, so that you see that it's got flesh tone around it inside of the blue face. And that was like the first point when I was reading this as a kid that I realized, okay, his face isn't the blue, he's wearing a mask.
Yeah,
because up until then I thought that was his face was that blue thing. So the coloring at least gave me that. The story is like, I feel like it's...
Sorry, I was just saying that I'm so blue, da-da-dee-da-da-doo.
Sorry. The story kind of oversimplifies the you know, it's, again, we, you know, we've talked about the, you know, the dragging the stories out and or making them too quick. But in this, you know, it's definitely too quick for, okay, we're on the side of Ravenna. Oops, we got defeated. Now we're on the side of Kang. Like, this should be like 3 or 4 issues.
Oh, I know. There's so much. There's a lot of talky-talk.
And a lot of quick turnarounds that deserve a little bit more attention. Yeah. Or at least, if not explanation, then development to build up to that instead of just having it, you know, I'm gonna have Captain America as my prisoner. Now I'm gonna come in and talk to him, and within 10 minutes he's on my side now. Like, that just seems like a little much. I don't know.
So bottom of page 3, the panel on the left. Is that Brian Blessed?
Well, as you may be aware, I cast Brian Blessed in almost everything that when I'm looking to do things cinematically. He's pretty much in everything.
Yep.
I had him virtually in every adult role in Harry Potter.
That would be, you know, Harry Potter with Brian Blessed and only Brian Blessed.
One man show. These underlings of Kang also seem just very, very two dimensional.
I was going to say generic, but same difference. Yeah.
Same difference, different word. Yeah. I do like the ending, the very last panel where the Avengers are being monitored. And you don't know who's monitoring them, but you don't know who's monitoring them, and it's going to get to the next issue. Now, that said, spoilers, the next issue when they face Dr. Doom, it's a pretty stupid story. When you think about it, it doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's still cool. And we do have the one spot in this story where they make a comparison of him to Doom, and in it, Hawkeye says, this is the nuttiest decision you've ever made, Winghead. Next thing we know, you'll be swearing in Dr. Doom because Cap has decided to side with Kang. And then in his thought balloon, Kang says, Dr. Doom, little do they dream how closely related I am to the greatest archvillain of all time. But there's no time for that now.
But so, I've said, you know, too much.
They're planting some seeds for some more complicated stuff to go on down the road. And I'll be totally honest. I know I've read stuff about what the relationship is with Kang and Ramatut and all that stuff.
Then they drag in Reed Richards' father, Nathaniel Richards, and one big lump of shit.
And then the Young Avengers complicated it further with young Kang being Iron Lad, and it's just I've never sorted it all out to the point
makes
where
you
I
feel like
exactly
makes you feel like Yosemite Sam.
Yeah, it makes my head. But you know, as you know, I read this. I remember reading this early in my comic collecting days when they reprinted it in whatever was it a Marvel Triple Action. Whatever the series was that was reprinting the Avengers books at that time.
Yeah.
So it was very, very early in my collecting. So I was probably about 11 years old when I read this. And for an 11-year-old, this story makes total sense and is cool.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not a bad story. It's just, like I said, it's just too quick for, you know, we're going to do this, now we're going to do this, now we're going to do this.
Kang does have some style, though. Sorry.
I'm looking on...
Purple line striped pants.
Those look like waders. Like he's gonna go fishing he's gonna go fly fishing. I'm looking at page 14, middle right panel. It looks like Cap is doing the twist.
14 art.
Oh, 14 in the bottom corner of the page. It says 14.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh. Come on, baby. Let's twist my shield.
And then, you know, again, talking about like some of the panel choices or the angles of the artwork, if you go to page 17, the first panel, very interesting choice here because you see, you know, Kang's... Or the revolutionary troops now coming in on Kang's second people who took over, and you see it from kind of like from a floor angle looking up, and you're looking kind of, you know, the guy's legs, and you see the guy's in between his two legs, so to speak.
Ton of people coming in the background. Yeah, that is
very interesting choice, and not a bad one. It's just, you know, one I certainly never would have thought of doing it that way. And then, you know, we follow it up two panels later. You have an overhead shot looking down. You know, I like when they go for interesting angles that seem to allow you to kind of picture the action moving forward. I mean, I guess that's the goal. And I think it's easier said than done. I think it's hard to make those choices. So I'll give Heck good credit for that.
The only thing that could have made that shot better with like the people fighting each other on each side. If you notice towards the bottom of that panel, you see people are half obscured by the smoke.
Right.
They, I really think the people that are in the center should have been like partially obscured too, because that's a lot of Dustins. Like, they're, it looks like they're standing on clouds, but the guys in the back are actually half in the dust. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that one panel has four onomatopoeia sounds.
Oh,
it's a very busy panel.
A cow, boy. Well, no, I'm talking about the one next to it. The one, the overhead shot.
Oh, okay.
Like, the guys look like they're standing.
It looks like clouds. They're walking on snow.
Yeah, yeah. So, but in the previous one with the onomatopoeia, you actually see, oh, look, there's a foom there. Oh. they're actually, they are obscured by smoke and debris or whatever. And anyway, it's nitpicky. But it's not bad, but it's like
it's I think the panel choices, as far as, like I said, the angles, yes, and everything, I think it's good storytelling. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the choices are kind of dynamic. I think the final rendering could be better. So I'm not sure how much of it I put on Heck and how much of it I put on Ayers and the inking. I think it's mostly Heck here, because again, most of my choices that I'm not happy with are a lot of the facial renderings, and they seem to be pretty clear Heck. So I'm thinking that, you know, Ayers just inked exactly what he was given.
Mm.
I don't think he I don't think he improved it, but I think it is what it is. You know, it is what Heck tried to make.
Yeah.
And then I'm also just looking at it as we're going through it. Quicksilver heals too quickly. He's given some sort of elixir by this mother or something, and all of a sudden he's 100%. It's like he has no ramifications of what went on.
I don't remember if he actually has some type of because he's always getting hurt. I was gonna say, does he have some type of advanced healing, like the Flash can heal quicker?
I think he may, but I don't think he had. I don't think that had been developed at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, panel, what is that, 16? Can't remember who this. I don't think this. I think it's just random guy, but it looks like Kurt Russell with white hair, which is what Kurt Russell looks like now.
It's Kurt Russell as Ego.
Or Santa Claus.
Look outside, you will get the answer. Isn't that Ravenna's father?
That's what I thought, but I'm not sure. I was looking back to the other ones. It might be, because earlier there's a guy with a white beard and he's wearing a big old headset or headset, headrest.
Well, look on page 15, bottom panel, right next to Ravenna.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But then he looks very different. Oh, no. Okay. I was looking at actually, that's the father of the woman who saved Quicksilver.
Yes. I mistook that too. And I'm like, no, wait, that's a different person.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe the art could have been a little more distinctive or clearer at some point. So
it feels, you know what? It like, again, I think good choices, but I think it feels like it's just a little bit rushed. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I'm coming down with on it. But again, you know, I think the story should have been over at least three issues. I don't think that would have been overly stretching it out. I don't think that would be overly decompressing it. I think that would have allowed the story to breathe. But, you know, they didn't really, I don't think they really did very much in the way of, you know, like five-issue story arcs. I think two issues was, you know, even that was a big deal. And you know, later on, a couple of years after this, they started with they wanted every story to be, you know, every issue to be a self-contained story. Go ahead.
I want to say in the Avengers, the first long-term storyline I remember is the Celestial Madonna, like that.
Oh, the Kree-Skrull War.
Well, yeah. So yeah, just about when they hit close to 100. Yeah, because then they came out of that and went into the Celestial Madonna, and after that we did the Kang thing. And then,
but I don't remember specifically in the Avengers at what point they were doing the you know, one and done stories, as opposed to two issues. But I remember in Spider-Man it was like around the 60s or maybe in the 80s. I'm not even sure. I know they did have that tablet thing in between, which was a long form story. So it might have been right after the tablet story ended in Spider-Man. But I remember in Thor in particular, some of the stories really seemed to kind of hurt because they were trying so hard to fit them all into one issue. So, you know, the compressed storytelling, it can be as irksome as the decompressed storytelling in its own way. And it's a matter of finding the balance between them. I think this story could have used some decompressing. And I think we could probably rate this at this point, unless you have any other significant points.
No. We can do a rating.
All right. The cover, like I had said, I think it would have been even more dynamic if it was just a little, just a tiny bit zoomed in on where it is. But it's pretty solid as it is. I think as a kid, I would be happy with this. And I'm going to say a B. It's not great, but it's not bad at all. It's still a good Kirby cover. The interior art, you know, we've kind of gone through. It feels a little rushed, but the panel choices and the angles and all of that, I think, are solid. So I'm going to say a B minus. If it had been, you know, if it had been fleshed out a little better, if it had had like a really good inker who would have tried to actually embellish it, I think it could have been brought up to almost an A. But I'll say a B minus. The story is good, but again, too decompressed. So I'm going to say on the story, a C plus. And overall, I'll give the book a B minus.
Yeah, I'll pretty much agree with all that. I just found a panel where Cap is talking to the, you know, he's you see his World War II tactician stuff coming because he's asking, you know, now that they've broken through the Protecto Shield, they're preparing to attack in force. What additional defenses, weapons do you possess? And it could have left it right there, but then he throws in a, speak, man.
I've given you a second.
It's like, dude, chill out. Who the hell are you? Yep, I concur with your ratings. I see your rating and match it. Call.
And that's why you're here. So that'll do it for this week's episode. Thank you, everybody, for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Yep. Bye-bye. So next Avengers Spotlight will be in the future.
Or in the past, since it's time travel.
Maybe we should do a mini-series and maybe do that, the Kang one with Ravona.
Well, we'll do it as we've done in the past. We'll do it issue by issue.
And we'll do it last at the last minute and figure out what we're doing.
Yeah.
That's and you'll like it.
And it'll work.
Thank you so much for listening to our show, and we hope you'll continue to join us each and every week for more good old-fashioned comic book back issue awesomeness. You can contact Back to the Bins to leave feedback, comments, questions, suggestions, and criticisms via email at bins@twotruefreaks.com or by joining the Back to the Bins group on Facebook. Back to the Bins is a proud affiliate of the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Network, which you may find at www.twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is a registered trademark of DiManzo Corp of Milan, Italy. All rights reserved. Please take a moment to stop by the twotruefreaks.com site and check out their many other fine podcasts, won't you? Thanks, and we'll see you next week.
I'm not buying no money for no app. Do you think I'm made of money? Shit.